Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of our podcast, which is series six.
Five.
And five, episode 17.
Five, probably.
Five.
Don't know.
I'm David Flatman, former Saracens, Bath, England A, England Saxons, and England International loose head prop, and he is...
I am Tom Shanklin, former Tenby Juniors. What should I call him? Tenby Swift. A little stint at Effingham Rugby Club.
Effingham Blinding.
Then moved on to bigger and better things at London Welsh, where I moved up through the age groups and eventually reached the first team. One of the prodigal sons. Then on to Saracens, then on to Cardiff, and then on to great things. Great things in the podcast
Just
world.
Just say it. Say the international ones, you dig.
I'm a little bit hoarse at the moment.
Say Wales and Lions.
Why do I have to when you do it for me?
Oh, so what's up with your voice? Have you been arguing with her nibs then?
Shouting at the kids. No. Just
all they're good for, boy.
Just a lot of chat over the weekend, mate. It was up in east in Dublin from Wales. Covered a couple of games over there for Premier Sport. And then ended up having a few pints after the show with my new best mate, Neil Lennon.
Oh, did you?
Yep. He was
there.
What's he like? He was there covering Man U Leicester with John O'Shea. John O'Shea didn't want to come out, but that's fine. I don't look at him any differently. But Neil Lennon did. And I said to him, "You have to call me Dragon." And he looked at me and went, "You have to call me Nighthawk." And then, you know, we just bonded straight away.
Yeah. Yeah, you went global from then on.
We got on. It's fair to say we got on.
John O'Shea not coming out. I wanna mock him, but that probably would have been me.
He had a lovely car, and he's really tall and really slick. So,
if I had an early flight out, I wouldn't bother. But what did you do?
Why'd you need John O'Shea when you got John Barkley? Hey,
yeah, it's trashy. Yeah. No, it's trashy.
Yeah, yeah. What I realized about JB, that's what I call him now. One thing, he loves Haribo. And
you had two bags the day, didn't you? You took a picture of.
Yeah. Couldn't stop. Like Pringles to him. And the other thing I've noticed is maybe, just maybe, his beard and moustache are stuck on. I'm not sure. Who knows? But
I got a thing.
It looks fake.
Barkley,
it looks fake.
I was with him last week at the Amazon, the Prime Video thing. The launch. And
Rugby Friends.
Well, no, it's when I was with Gabby Logan, but I was just chilling out with Wayne Rooney, Thierry Henry and Patrice Evra.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney, exactly what you expect him to look like. Patrice Evra, exactly what you expect. Thierry Henry, quite tall, very beautiful, very, very slim, to the point I would say thin.
Does Wayne Rooney smell like a chip shop? That's what I imagine him to. Does he?
Well, I gave him a little nuzzle. I got my head right in there and he had a little vinegary nook under his chin.
Do you know, like some people, like you just expect to smell gorgeous, like Bobby Skinstad. Whenever I see him on TV, I think,
yep. Yeah.
You smell good. You smell like Fahrenheit or
Churros.
Jamie Redknapp. I just look at Rooney, I think. Fish and chip
shop. You're a good wash kid. I look at Rooney and think, get rid of the beard and make yourself just clean cut and super tidy. Make sure you just look really clean. Because, not all of us, I'm in Rooney's boat. You know, it's easy to turn up and look however you want when you look like Jamie Redknapp. Fine. But when you don't look like Jamie Redknapp, make sure you look incredibly clean.
Yeah. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
I look incredibly hairless. That's what I do.
Yeah, I don't look like Willie Thorne.
You're back in one of those stages, are you?
But you had a big geography teacher, Sheik. So you had a big night, did you?
No, not really. A few beers. But
I think John Barkley thing I was going to say. So I think he's shorter than when I last saw him. Mm. I think because of all the damage his knees have taken, I think he can't straighten his legs. He's shorter than I like. Yeah. He can't straighten his legs. I think he walks around with a permanent knee bend because his knees are so knackered. He used to be 6'4". He's 6'2" now.
Thoroughly nice bloke. But it was... what really killed me was a 4 a.m. flight. Well, the 4 a.m. wake up call to get a 6 a.m. flight back.
No, to the Bristol. 10 pints you drank before that
wasn't
killed
10,
you.
Mate. It wasn't 10. I was showing off.
All right,
11.
And you had 10 pints before we went out. Look, I've just been sent. I want to hit you with this earlier, right? And get you on the back foot.
New bath director. Sent, no, sorry.
No, sorry. I've been sent a series of WhatsApp videos by Matt Banahan. Of your putting from the Belfry last week, and it didn't go well, did it? And you film people when they're eating, he films people when they're putting. He's done you, isn't he? Did you not have a good round?
No, I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest, mate.
You actually hate it though, don't you?
Because I'm just so competitive. It's just always been in my blood. But it's a round to forget, but I wasn't feeling great. So it was a long drive up. I didn't have time to stretch. Didn't have time for my normal pre-match routine. I was left wanting that day. So just delete them, mate. Just delete them.
Yeah, okay. Okay, boy, look. Have you been?
Yeah. Okay.
Have you had a busy week? We want to know, because, it's you I'm worried about here. We want to know that things are ticking along. We want to know you're busy. We want to know you're getting a good work-life balance. You've got some downtime to keep yourself fit and do some grilling. What's happening?
Yeah, always training, mate. You know me.
Yeah,
too,
I know you.
Too vain, really, deep down. But, busy week, mate. We had a networking lunch or a business lunch, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it Secret Thursday in Le Monde on Thursday, funnily enough.
How was it then?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Heavy. A lot of people were out to play that day. They bought all their toys, and we were playing really well. And sort of on the back foot ever since then. Jiffy came along, did a Q&A. Brilliant as always.
Has he ever done a Q&A that wasn't brilliant? I actually doubt he has, because he's brilliant at it, and he doesn't give a shit if you like him or not, which is a brilliant combination because he just says what he wants.
Yeah, I've never heard him in front of a group of women, though.
maybe he's not appropriate in any environment. I don't know.
But it was good, mate. It was good. And then I headed over to Ireland for a night.
Well done, boy.
Two nights. But just working, mate. You know how it is. Just getting back to the grind. How are you and your Yorkshire Society lunch?
No, it was the Yorkshire Residential Property Awards.
That's right.
In Leeds.
That's
in
right.
New Dock Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
Partridge couldn't do it, could he?
So I did that. Did that one. Rob Brydon cost too much and Partridge couldn't make it. Bafes, I think, normally does that or does the commercial one. And they want the same presenters to do it every year.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. Those events are really nice. Like, as long as you go in well enough prepared, they're quite good fun. And the I don't want to say who did it last year because it'll get awkward. Not between you and me, but between you and your mate. And it's like, oh God, he did it last year, and how come he didn't go back this year? And I don't know what to say. A couple of years ago, they had a nightmare with Chris Akabusi.
Because he kept saying, like, ooh, 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 ooh. Well, that's John Fashanu. He'd pump his... Oh. When he pump his fist...
Oh, yeah. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, yeah, yeah. John Fashanu, Awuga, yeah. It was Gladiators, wasn't it, Awuga?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. So they had a bit of a shocker with him, I think, and...
trying to put the ad on people, was he?
He was lobbing ashtrays around. You know what he gets like, mate, after a couple of jars. After a couple of pints of wine, Acker. So they had Gethin Jones last year.
Hmm. Well, you said it now, haven't you?
I'm not going to tell you who they had last year.
I thought you said it, Gethin Jones.
Oh, sorry. You said it. Did I say it? Anyway. That was good fun, actually.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. It was nice.
Do you think you'll be invited back?
I've been invited back.
Like Michael Johnson now on BBC Athletics? Synonymous with the Yorkshire.
Anonymous. I think they might just invite me back as a guest. Come next year as a guest. Then I went down to London the next morning from there and did a lunch with Mark Durden Smith hosted it, and we had
is that we saw my mates?
Yeah, the Welsh Mafia were down, the Penarth Pythons. So that was for the Richmond Heavies, really good charity that tries to equip as many rugby clubs across the country with defibrillators as possible.
What did you have
really
to do?
Good charity.
Get up on stage and talk about your book.
No, well, I got up on stage, mucked around with Durders. The mics didn't work anyway, but it was really good fun. But one of the other guests was Martin O'Fire, and
he was on.
Durders introduces. He's the first winner of Strictly, wasn't he?
Not sure, mate.
Yeah, he's on the first Strictly. So like, anyway, so Martin O'Fire is on there, and Durders just hammers everyone, rips into everyone when he introduces him. He's very, very funny, of course. And he said. He's like the man who, a terrible mistake, went to the dark side, chose rugby league, a dagger in the heart of everyone in this room, very, very funny. And he says, what? You think I made a mistake by becoming a millionaire and getting a statue built of me? They made a statue of me and made me a millionaire. It's just like, and Durders was like, as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, humility is at the very core of Martin O'Fire. It was absolutely brilliant. It was very, very good.
That's a wicked comeback. How's your book, mate? Yeah. Is it forwarded by Duncan Goodhue, by any chance?
What? Is that a Partridge gag I don't know about?
No, it's just a little book called, like, I think it's Indian Remedies that David Brent pulls out.
Oh, is it? Oh, there you go, The Office, yeah.
Forwarded by Duncan Goodhue.
Yeah, no, Vin Diesel did ours. Okay. Ian Duncan Smith did ours. Yeah, the book is out there, and it's selling fast, by all
accounts.
What's
it called?
It's called Flats and Durders Offload. I've got a copy next to me, actually. Do you want to get your signed copy?
What's the message in it?
Be kind.
Okay.
Be woke. No, it's a good... I'm trying to celebrate it as a good downstairs toilet book.
Okay. Does my name feature in it at all?
He asked to have it kept out. Your name does feature in it, but he asked to have it kept out.
Okay.
But when you and I do a book, we'll keep Durden Smith out of it. Because
that's what I do with all the boys' books. Just have a look for my name in the back. It really annoys me, those that don't have like a name index.
I know.
You've just gone cheap, mate. You've gone cheap, so...
Yeah, I think we've definitely got one in ours.
Mike Phillips has bought Burke out half-truths, so you've got to work out which half is truth. Which half is fabricated. And Jamie Roberts has got a book out as well, actually, coming out soon, I think. So, again, I'll just pop into Waterstones. Or is it Watersheds?
Waterstones. Most importantly, Rob Beckett's got a book out, which I think will probably be really funny. But if I was going to buy two books this Christmas, I'd buy our book and Rob Beckett's book.
I like Rob Beckett.
Very funny man. Just from funny teeth, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The funny fake. Bones, mate. Funny bones fella.
Anyway, that's enough foreplay. Let's talk about
Bath conceding 70 points.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which
is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Go. Hit me with it.
What I would say to you, Tommy, I would say to you, you could put 10 or 12 or pick a number of the Bath team in 50. That Saracens team and they would have looked crash hot. They would look good on Sunday. So
is that you, like you or I just like in our prime if we just joined New Zealand, like we'd look brilliant?
You look better in a good team, but my point is that it's kind of not, I would say everyone's got a solution, everyone's got an answer. I don't think that's true. I think a lot of people are asking the question, what is it at Bath? What is the problem at Bath? And I think that, do you want me to talk now? Because you did say go. I won't be there,
yeah,
won't I?
No.
The word identity is a management speak buzzword. Until you don't have an identity and you need one, then you realise how real it is.
You know I hate management talk. David.
Hate it. I hate it more than you. Okay. So Bath, I think, you know, your job and my job is one of the jobs that's part of our job is to know what teams are about. You kind of know how a team plays. You know how they do things. And the top teams invariably have a style, have an identity, have stuff to fall back on.
Yeah.
And Saracens have everything to fall back on. That's what they're good at. Exeter Chiefs are a possession team. Harlequins are an attack team, flat out attack team. Bristol would call themselves that as well, being a bit more pragmatic the last year or so, but they are an attacking team. They are kind of all out a talent team, you might call them. Keeping the ball alive and all that stuff and hating to die with the ball. But Bath, I mean, I watch all their games, of course, watch everyone's games, and I honestly don't know something they have in common with the teams that just never threaten the top four. Don't consistently threaten the top four, never's the wrong word, is that I couldn't really tell you how they play. I couldn't really tell you how they do it. Northampton might not be top four. They might not. They don't always get it right, but I can tell you how they like to play. Bath, I couldn't tell you. They were really, really poor the first two rounds. Excellent the second two rounds, or the third round, sorry, where they, you know, didn't win but against Bristol, but they played really, really well.
Didn't they do well?
And they were abhorrent on Sunday, and it's just it's really difficult. They don't have anything to fall back on. They don't have an immense kicking game from 9 and 10. They don't have immense defence. They don't have an immense set piece. Their scrum was really dominant two seasons ago when they got to the semi-final with Will Stewart before that front five. There's still some quality players in there, but that front five is not dominating opposition front fives at the moment. It just isn't. Wasn't really last season, isn't this season. That makes a massive difference to a team, as you well know. Like, you look at what Leicester are doing now, and that South African back row they had at the weekend is just brutal. But it all comes from a really, really efficient, powerful, aggressive, dominant front five. It all comes from that because everyone's moving forward. So there is a reason Cole, Genge, Montoya is one of the most valuable front rows in Europe at the moment, I would say. So I feel like Bath do have a good front row. Tom Dunn, hell of a player. Ben Urbano, amazing defender, good carrier. Will Stewart, really good all-round player. But they are not getting the dominance. They don't have physical dominance over other teams, and that makes everything twice as hard.
doesn't seem like a to have a blueprint of how they want to play, and then you add to that blueprint as and when you see it. That's what it seems to be. And loads of teams go through that, mate. You know, my old team, Cardiff Rugby, now they went through it for 10 years basically once Di Young left, and it's only now they've come since he's come back that they're finding a way to win and a style that suits. You look at the stats, and I've gone on Ultimate Rugby here to look at them, and if you didn't know the score, you would never have guessed by the stats it would be 71-17, because you got territories 50%, possessions 55% to Saracens, and then you've got defenders beaten both 26, clean line breaks similar, gain line carry similar, kicks from hand, Saris kick more, but tackles made not too far off, both missed 26. So you'd think that'd be a pretty open game, but when you actually see the score, it's unbelievable. And that should never be happening to a team like Bath. Never. At home as well. So there has to be something, there has to be a shake-up there after this, do you think? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
This is the thing. So I think it's everybody wants one, not everybody, lots of people, Bath fans in particular, want, and a lot of fans of other teams expect, one quick sweeping of the axe, one quick big decision in the next week or two, that is going to turn the club around.
Sometimes it does, mate. You see it in football all the time.
Oh, it can. Yeah, but how long does it last? That's the point. So the thing with Bath is, in 2015, I think they got to the final, carving up, Sarri's beaten in the final, fine, and downhill. Two seasons ago, not long ago, mate, they were in the Premiership semi-final. They got pumped by Bristol in the by Exeter in the semi, but they were in the semi-final, and they were really good that season. Mm. They had I was looking at them thinking they've got a real identity. They're not playing the best rugby. They've got a really dominant forward pack, and they've got a 10 who kicks loads of points and a fullback who's good at counter-attacking. That is a nice little blueprint to start with. And it all went away. The forward pack stopped achieving that dominance. The defence stopped being as consistent. It was kind of like, well, the forward pack being more, you know, less dominant means there are fewer penalties to kick, so your kicker becomes less relevant. And there's all... you need to start creating things. But like Sarri's, when you rewind back to Brendan Fenter arriving, they were a properly boring team to watch. They were just South Africa in the semi-final against Wales in Japan in 2019. They would box, kick, kick, but so boring, kick, kick chase. But they built on that gradually and took over the world.
You're allowed to be boring when you're winning the majority of games, because people, you know, they'll accept that. You say, how long will it last, you know, if someone else comes in? Well, I mentioned football. It worked for Quinns. You know, that's last. And I think what Bath fans and I think everyone wants to see, like even if it's a short-term fix, they just want to see results, because I don't know how much time you're going to be given to take a team and rebuild it when... it's not like you need new personnel, because you look at the players that are playing on that field for Bath. It's quality, mate. It's quality all over the shop. It's not like they're desperate for internationals or for a high caliber player. They got them. They just seem a little bit lost. So,
but you've got. There's this weird thing. Like, there's this difficult equation, right? Which is, who's learning more? The head coach who's winning every week or the head coach who's losing every week? You could argue that the head coach who's losing every week is learning invaluable lessons, right?
Yeah,
ideally
that.
Along the way.
I get that.
But that doesn't mean you can't ever, no one can ever lose their job if they're losing. Otherwise, you know, you have a job for life. But there is a balance there. But I think look, let's declare an interest here. I know Stuart Hooper really well. He's a friend of mine, known him a long time. So have you.
Yep.
They all think at Bath he is an exceptional human being, person to have around that environment. I know him well enough to know that that is the case. That is true. He's the sort of person you would want at your rugby club. Amazing bloke, right? Really, always has been. So there's that. But do you then, some Bath fans just say, right, Hooper out. Okay, well, sack him, give Neil Hatley the head job, or give someone else the head job, whatever it is. Do you honestly think, do people honestly think that changing one human being and putting another one in his stead is going to change the whole thing? Because this has been a problem. They've done that loads of times at Bath and it has never worked. It has never worked since I was there. They've been doing it. I saw Francois Lowe the other week and he said something like, 8 head coaches in 9 years or 7 in 9 years. Mm. It doesn't work. It hardly ever works on a consistent basis. It doesn't. Quins are wonderful to watch. They have not yet been playing this well for 1 year. It's not yet a year that they've been playing this well. And they won the title, which is mega, and I'd love them to win another one, frankly. But you need to make decisions where if Stuart Hooper is an amazing bloke, if he's an amazing leader, if he's learning a huge amount, why do you want to just completely get rid of him? So I wonder if there's a way they can bring someone in. Like, I had a text from a journo mate of mine who, you know, I won't name him because I haven't asked his permission, but he just said, I'm hearing Steve Diamond's a done deal at Bath. And I don't know if that's true or not. I think it probably isn't true, actually. He's not making it up, but I think it's probably an inaccurate rumour. But I think to myself, well, that would, I don't know, I reckon that would stir things up and that would cause a reaction. I think that probably would, in the short term, have a positive effect. But will he still be here in 5 years? Does that matter?
Doesn't matter. You know, you're talking about Quins. You say they've not played well for a year. It doesn't matter. You can't guess what they're going to be playing like in 18 months or 2 years. You just got to take it for the here and now. And you have to look at development with players. You have to look at players' ages, you know, because I think at some stage that's going to happen with Saracens. I think you look at their squad and 3 or 4 years down the line, if they don't recruit sensibly, that core of that team will be gone. And then how do you replace the likes of the Vinopolas, of Farrell, Alex Good, you know, Maitland, players that have been there for such a long time. But anyway, so yeah, crisis at Bath, that is for sure. I hope they get over it because...
Quins away this week.
I think Bath's a great city. I think it's a great club. It's full of history. You want to see him to do well. Any other games massively stand out for you? Exeter beating Wasps. Slow start to the season, but got it back on track.
Yeah.
It's
quite a good game, actually. I quite enjoyed that. It was, nice and tight. Chiefs have basically sat out their stall for this season in that what they're going to do is, you know, it's like Barcelona and Spain a generation ago, minus the artistry in a sense. It's like, we are going to batter you and keep the ball until you get too tired to resist Dave Ewers and Henry Slade. That's kind of how they're going to play. And they got a load of top players, but so have Wasps. Look, Wasps were great for large periods of that game, but Chiefs just bash you down. I'm not sure that'll work against Sarri's.
No.
Not sure that'll work against Sarri's first team. But, you know, it is currently effective, really effective. I thought Brad Shields is getting better and better for Wasps, more and more influential. Thomas Young is ridiculously good player, mate.
Coming to Wales, boy.
I know. I'm really pleased. I hope he gets 100 caps. I'm a bit late now, but I love him. He's so good, man. He's so good. And Elliot Stook as well. Like, I talk about Elliot Stook quite a lot, but he's one of those players that, because there are so many rock stars in the second row in England, he doesn't get a lot of mentions. But I personally was surprised that Bath let him go. Maybe they didn't have a choice. And a really good signing as long as he stays fit for Wasps, because he's active, full of energy, high quality player, I think.
Worcester hammered 48-3, gutted again for JT.
But I know.
Leicester looked really good at the start of this season. So it's incredible. Didn't see Sale beating Quins either, especially the role that Quins were on, but Sale are another quality team now that find a way to win.
Yeah, they're almost the other way, aren't they? They're almost like, we're going to bash you so hard in defence, you're not going to be able to live with it. And it kind of worked. And
they don't tend to go away from that, really. They just they know how they want to play. But and they got the personnel to play that way. That's what determines how you play, is personnel in the team. Like, there's no point playing like Quins would play with, you know, I don't know, a load of up and down centres. You know, you know, or non-ball players. You know, the personnel that, so Danny Kerr and Marcus Smith dictate how Quins are going to play. Same with most teams. So, you know, with Sale's team, why wouldn't you want to play like that? Because you can bully teams, not bully teams, but just be...
Yeah, bully teams, that's what it is. Those Dupree boys, mate.
Physical. Yeah.
Cobus Visa, my God, mate, they put it about so hard. It was an interesting game, and watching it, I just thought it looked like Sale went out there to just get in Quinn's faces,
yep.
annoy him, pull him back, knock him around, gob off, be aggressive, and just not buy into the Harlem Globetrotters stuff and actually get in their grills. And I thought it worked really well. Very, very close game. And I thought Rafi Quirk's first try was potentially off a forward pass, actually, from Wilkinson. But
he's in the England squad.
What a player.
He's so good, man. Quite a few big names left out, though.
Yeah.
Hmm. Talk to me.
I mean...
Jamie George, he's out. Vinopola's out.
Yeah.
Dan Robson. No.
What I would say is this, boy. Rafi Quirk, I love. Mm. Love him. To write off Dan Robson, I just don't understand it. Don't agree with it. To leave out George Ford, I don't understand it. Don't agree with it. Billy Vunipola has been in really good form. But with Simmons and Don Brandt, whatever, you think, okay. It's tough to get in at number eight at the moment. Jamie George, Lou said prop, Mako left out. He has been really good these last couple of weeks. But you look at Marley, you look at Genge, you say, okay.
Can accept that.
Yeah, okay. I kind of, it's tough to get in at Lou said, right? And at some point, Genge is going to become first choice England player. Maybe this is the series. It was always going to happen. But, you know, this is difficult. It's difficult to say this without being rude about the people who are in.
Mm.
But you've got, for example, you've got Nick Dolly from Leicester, the hooker.
Yeah.
Is in ahead of Jamie George. He's in ahead of George McGuigan. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Mm.
And if I am proved wrong, I would love to say I was wrong. I was wrong on that. He is wonderful. He's scoring loads of tries for Leicester. It does not compute with me how that decision has been made to leave out both George McGuigan. I mean, Jamie Blamire, Newcastle's second choice hooker, really good player, really good, like class player. He's second choice at Newcastle behind George McGuigan, who for me was the form hooker in the league last season.
Mm.
It was better than anyone, I thought, over the course of the season. McGuigan still doesn't get in, don't know why. So his understudy gets in, fine. Bit odd.
Well, Dolly's in because he's, what is he, 21, 22? You know, so they're trying to look for, I'd imagine, for, you know, the next hooker for the next 10 years when you've got Jamie George who's 30.
Jamie George has got at least... Jamie George, mate, is flying around. He has got...
Mm.
Jamie George will be getting paid big money 5 years from now still in rugby. Mm. He is still a big name. He'll be a big player for at least another 4 or 5 years. He's top of the...
I'm just saying from what I see when players
absolutely.
Leave squad.
Don't get it.
Yeah.
Don't get it. And then you've got...
But then if he's not going to be first choice, like they have the same issues with... In Wales, with Jamie Roberts and Reece Webb, both playing well for their clubs, but they're both 30-something. And if they're not going to be first choice, what's the point of having them in the squad? Just to hold bags.
Because someone might get injured. They might have to play 3 tests on the bounce.
Yeah, but then they've got enough experience to do that, to come in. You know, they
have. Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, but like, you know, Luke Cowan-Dickie is injured and Jamie Blamire gets injured, Nick Dolly's going to go into the test squad. They're not going to leave him uninvolved and bring in Jamie George, surely. Like,
I don't know. Maybe they would, but, you know, because he's got that experience to be able to know how to do it and not to be not to be overawed by the situation.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get it when older players who are playing well for their clubs are not in squads, older players, because unless they're first choice, I should put, you know, if they're first choice, they're first choice. But if they're not sure whether they're going to play them or not, then there's got to be a point where you blood youngsters and you give them a shot.
Yeah, what I would say, that second row, you've got Johnny Hill, Itoje, Laws, Yules.
Mm.
David Ribbons plays for Northampton. For me, he's in that mix. I don't know why he's not in that squad. I would have him in that squad every time. Mm. We're all going to disagree on certain stuff. Of course we are. But then I hear that... hang on, I'm looking at the squad here to make sure. So Curry's in, Axe Donbrand. Yeah, but I mean, there are certain positions where it's just bloody tough to get in. That's just the way it is. But Tommy Freeman from Northampton, he started a couple of games this season. That's it. Love watching him play, like class player.
Mm.
But you're thinking he's in the test squad now. Like, is he going to get any tests or is he going to hold bags and get dumped or is he going to get picked for England too early? Like, I'm thrilled for him that he's in there, but I'm still a bit like, really, he's hardly played. He's hardly played. I mean, I want these guys to do well, but it is an odd one for me. There are some odd ones in there. There was never going to be a squad that didn't have the odd one in there. Of course not. But I feel like Vunipola boys, both playing well, but I kind of get it because they're tough positions. Jamie George, I do not understand. George Ford, I do not understand. I disagree with that selection 100%.
Have you seen the Welsh squad?
Everyone's in it, aren't they?
Yeah, near enough. Got four for the house.
I saw 300 of them in there. Yeah, exactly.
We've got, there is Rhys Priestland's back in.
Yeah.
So we've got four tens. Gareth Ants comes in, Callum Sheedy's in. And who else is the fourth one? Callum Sheedy, Dan Bigger, Anscombe, yeah. I think Anscombe may start. I reckon I've presumed
the last couple of weeks that he would start. Is that?
But Rhys Priestland had a really good kicking display at the weekend against the Sharks. Looked really good, like put him in some real good positions. Played territory really well. Maybe, I don't know, Jamie Roberts reckons Rhys Priestland's going to start. I reckon Gareth Anscombe will start, but who knows? It depends who plays at 12. Scott Williams wasn't in, and he's been playing well for Scarlets. Started off really strongly. You know, like how we talk about the 12s these days of, you know, they can't just smash it up. They've got to take it to the line and put it behind the 13, back to the 10.
Yeah.
He's wonderful at that, so you can run so many moves off him. Johnny Williams is back playing. He played against Leinster at the weekend for the Scarlets, but the Scarlets got 50 points put against them by Leinster at the RDS. It's a horrible place to go, but you know, you shouldn't be leaking that amount of points, no matter what. You know, that's for an Italian team to leak points or maybe one of the weaker South African teams who actually have turned up now. You know, I think it took them a bit of time to get used to the style of play. You know, it's quite different to Super Rugby. It's quite more structured. It's a little bit slower. The breakdowns are a lot more pressure on it and a lot more emphasis in the Northern Hemisphere. But Nick Tompkins, mate, he could be something, because we don't talk about him too much in Wales.
His leg drive's a joke the weekend. Yeah,
because we don't see him. You know, a lot of Welsh supporters will just watch the URC, but he's looking very powerful. And, he, you know, he's had a shot before, but didn't quite work out. Maybe
he looked really good for Saris against Bath.
Problem is, you won't get him for the first game, because Wales' game against New Zealand on the 30th is outside the international window, so he won't play. So Lewis Rees-Zammit won't play. Dan Bigger won't play. Callum Sheedy won't play. You know, all of these. Thomas Young won't play. All of the English.
Well, that's your 10 sorted for the first game, isn't it? Well, it's one of those two.
Priestland or Anscombe, yeah. Exactly that.
Jared Evans is back Friday night, though, they're saying, against Dragons.
Maybe.
On Saturday, sorry.
Maybe, but
a bit late.
Maybe a bit late, yeah. But, yeah, it's the first game's only New Zealand, so don't really matter, does it?
No, it'd be piss.
You might as well go. You might as well go into that game without really training, just having like some sort of blueprint of what you want to play and how you want to play, just the fundamentals, and then just go out there and just
enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy it. Play heads up.
I guess it depends. Yeah, we talked about this last week. Didn't we? Who they pick? Obviously, it depends how Pivac thinks they might beat New Zealand, because you don't want to go damage limitation from the start. You want to try and beat them, obviously. Mm. And do you beat them by joué, or do you beat them by pinning them back and kicking points?
We tried both. Hasn't worked. So, who knows? I tell you, a guy called Simon Thomas works for Wales Online. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you wait, Tane Basham, he'll be the number 7 for Wales in this autumn. And he had another really good performance at the weekend. Although they lost to the Stormers, the Dragons, but he was really good. Who do you compare to? He's big, robust, number 7. Sean O'Brien. He's like Sean O'Brien.
Yeah.
Really good carrier. So not just like a jackler, not just a fetcher. You know, he carries so strongly. Solid defensively, really good over the ball. So, and he said he reckons he's pipping him to start, and I reckon he bloody could be right.
Okay,
yeah, I think it could be the Dragons' back row to start the first game with Moriarty and Wainwright.
Oh, okay.
It's like rugby league, mate, when you watch the Dragons. They're so good at it. Like, it'll be like Moriarty carry, and then the next carry is Wainwright, then the next carry is Basham.
Yeah.
They're so destructive. They just shot themselves in the foot a bit at the weekend. Josh Lewis couldn't clear up a kick and a ball that was kicked ahead, fumbled it, and then one of the Stormers guys goes over and scores.
Was one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, one of them.
That's what I said in the video session. It's one of them, boss. It's one of them, gaffer.
I tell you, a player who played well at the weekend, Reece Webb against Benetton.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Look, we scored a couple of tries, set one up out the back door. I was saying on during final whistle, I think it was, how many times do you see like a forward in at guard, and every time in training, all you do is stay there or move forward? How many times do you see him chase the scrum half and then he just nip back inside?
Yeah.
It's like, you can tell him. So it's like I tell my kids, your plate doesn't live there. Put it up on the side or in the dishwasher. Yeah. Every single time I get downstairs, it's on the table. Sorry, Dad. You can only tell people a certain amount of times and they still don't get it.
Got to start giving him a clip, haven't you, after that?
Yeah.
Play his kids.
That's exactly what happens. Then he puts out the back door to Ethan Roots, scores a try, but it's good. Impressed, mate.
Good. Yeah, impressed. Lovely stuff. Very lovely stuff, boy.
Yeah, well, we've gone on a bit.
We have, yeah, but that's all right, mate. That's
have you watched The White Lotus yet?
No, just finishing off Made. I know, I'm busy, mate. I'm busy. I'm watching Made. Made is amazing. It's absolutely amazing on Netflix. Oh, my God, it's good.
What's it about, like, weddings and maid of honours and stuff?
Or not far off. It's really good. It's about...
Is it better than Bridesmaids, the film?
No, it's not that league. It's really, really good. White Lotus is on the list.
Just
Guilt.
Watch it, mate.
I've never watched The Guilt. Have you watched The Guilt?
Is it a film?
No, it's a series. Series 2 has just come out and everyone's going mad about it. And obviously haven't started Succession yet either.
Oh, and I watched Guilty on Netflix. Sorry, I watched Guilty on Netflix.
I started watching that and realised I've seen this before, but it's a remake of a film that wasn't made that long ago.
Was it?
They put it in English, but someone else did it. There's a German version or something. But
it's like Snowpiercer. I watched a film called The Snowpiercer, and then a series came out on Netflix. I was like, well, I know what happens now. They break through to the front.
I
had a go on Succession. I watched it. It was good.
What do you reckon?
It was good. I liked it. I wanted to get better, but it was good. I forgot actually loads that happened in the first one, but Roman, easily my favourite.
He's amazing. That's McCulkin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Culkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. He's just got to be one of the best actors out there at the moment, at this current present time.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, they're all good. Anyway, yeah, get into it. But the only thing annoying is it's one a week now, and I just want to watch the next one.
Oh, is there? Mm. Oh, right. I won't rush then. I'll build them up.
Mm. No Xavier. Right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No, Ian. All right, boy.
All right, thanks for that.
Good luck to you. Good luck, everyone.
Yeah, good luck, Bath. Let's hope you dig yourself out of a hole because...
Yeah, turn around. Turn a roo. Yeah, up against Quinn.
We love you. Good job. We love you.
Good luck, everyone.
Bye.